I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Friday, January 26, 2024, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild and dystopic ride it is, to be sure. And where are we in history? Some people remember it as today, some a couple days later, but this is an interesting day in history. Let's see, in 1482, the Pentateuch, the Jewish Bible, was first printed as a book in Bologna, Italy. That was shortly after the Gutenberg printing press was alive and well. And in 1564, the Council of Trent issued its conclusions in the Tridentinum, establishing a distinction between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. And I would say we were sort of off to the races, you know, the two sides of the contrived religious persecution were set in motion in order to accomplish a certain end, and that was to create the new Atlantis. In 1926, John Logie Baird gave the first public demonstration on television in his laboratory in London. On this day, 66 years ago, Ellen DeGeneres was born. Wayne Gretzky was also born on this day. Douglas MacArthur, Paul Newman, Eddie Van Halen, among others. And on this day, Lucky Luciano died, along with Nelson Rockefeller, Kobe Bryant, and others. Of course, they weren't all... Wasn't entirely under the kind of suspicious circumstances that we saw in the case of Kobe Bryant. But one event stands out among the rest. And what is that? You probably will not recall. But when we remind you, you will recall. 26 years later, the AP archive story of this infamous event. What happened 26 years ago? Some say today, some say a couple days from now. Regardless, that was an interesting moment. And that guy, if I'm not mistaken, he was also named several times in the Epstein flight logs. Can we play that clip by chance? 26-year anniversary of the infamous thumbwagger, the thumbwagging incident. Actually, it was the thumbwagging was later. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Now, I have to go back to work on my State of the Union speech. And I worked on it till pretty late last night. But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
Unbelievable. And I need to go back to work for the American people. Did he ever work for the American people? Which people are we talking about? So, some things don't age well. I think that's one of them. Anyway, 26th anniversary of that, among other fun things. So let's talk about perception management a little bit, shall we? There's so much interesting fodder for discussion. How about this from USI of India? Been floating around for some time now, since 2009, I believe. The Journal of the United States Institution of India, or excuse me, United Service Institution of India. Volume 89 is that? CXXXIX. Who knows? Volume 89. Number 578, October through December 2009. This is interesting. And, you know, how many people know, how many care? The Art of Perception Management in Information Warfare Today. Brigadier B.M. Kapoor. From the introduction, according to Alvin Toffler, the full implications of what we termed third wave, this is a quote from Toffler, the full implications of what we termed third wave knowledge warfare have not yet been digested. You know, there's this weird, you know, Schrodinger's cat sort of aspect to perception management these days, you know, the weird sort of quantum physicists, black box of perception management. Is it, you know, and how that factors into the whole advanced technology, you know, manipulation of you, all things you. Does it change when it's observed? Who knows? Anyway, the wars of the future will increasingly be prevented, won or lost based on information superiority and dominance. Cyber war involves everything from strategic deception and perception management down to tactical disruption of an adversary's information systems, end quote. In the Iraq War, 2003 journalists were embedded. Folks like John Pilger have talked about this concept of embedding. You know, it's a very incestuous relationship, and it doesn't serve the American people. Anyway, in the Iraq War, 2003, journalists were embedded in the American forces as combat cameramen. The purpose was not to give the world a ringside view of the war, but to give it the American view, quote unquote. I find it astonishing, you know, you talk to folks or you see things online, for example, these exchanges, and people say, you know, are you aware of what happened on October 7? And I would say, yes, but maybe not. I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think something happened, but I'm not quite sure. Well, are you kidding me? You know, it's all over everywhere. It's all over social media, YouTube. It's everywhere. Hamas attacked Israel, obviously. And I say, really? How do you know? How can you be sure? I can be absolutely certain. Well, come on, Chris. There's video footage all over social media of guys running around with GoPros on their heads. They filmed the whole thing. Oh, that's interesting. And, you know, and some organization called Hamas took credit for it. Oh, that's interesting. Why do you suppose that would happen? Is there anything about that that just seems far too obvious and therefore maybe a little suspicious? Why would you do that exactly? Why would you telegraph in a state of war, if Sun Tzu is right and everyone after him has echoed the sentiments that all war is based on deception, why would you telegraph everything that you did? There might be a case where you would do that, but who benefits and to what end here? It's fascinating. Really? Even folks with military experience, presumably in the dark arts of perception management. So, one wonders. Continuing, the purpose was not to give the world a ringside view of the war, but to give it the American view. As the Washington Post of 24 March 2003 put it, almost by definition, a war waged on live television is a war in which political and public relations considerations become inextricably bound up with military tactics and strategy. How victory is won is almost as important as victory itself. How victory is won is almost as important as victory itself. But another significant event, the toppling of Saddam's statue in Baghdad, made great news. Did you know that was a PSYOP? That's been publicly acknowledged. There were as many PSYOP folks in the, you know, in the crowd as there were anybody else. Saddam's statue in Baghdad made great news with extensive TV coverage, which, you know, they just happened to manage, which is fantastic. However, as Sheldon Rampton and John Stauber wrote in These Times on 8 April 2003, quote, as U.S. tanks stormed into Baghdad on April 9, television viewers in the United States got their first feel-good moment of the war. A chance to witness the toppling of a giant statue of Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. The problem is that the images of toppling statues and exulting Iraqis, to which American audiences were repeatedly exposed, obscured a larger reality. A Reuters long shot photo of Furta Square showed that it was nearly empty, ringed by the U.S. tanks and Marines who had moved in to seal off the square before admitting the Iraqis. These instances were a very powerful demonstration of the U.S. Of the use of perception management in international affairs. Simply defined, perception management is information operations that aim to affect perception of others to influence their emotions, reasoning, decisions, or actions. Interesting stuff. And, you know, obviously the influence cannot be overstated. Some have observed that in Bernays's Propaganda, Chapter 5, Business and the Public, he observed, continuous interpretation is achieved by trying to control every approach to the public mind in such a manner that the public receives the desired impression, often without being conscious of it. As he said earlier in the previous chapter, it will come to him as his own idea, like so many things do in America. Continuing just to finish the paragraph, high spotting, on the other hand, vividly seizes the attention of the public. And fixes it upon some detail or aspect, which is typical of the entire enterprise. When a real estate corporation, which is erecting a tall office building, makes it 10 feet taller than the highest skyscraper in existence, that is dramatization. There are a few actually I think there are two that I am aware of, Intercept articles about this fairly recent development, the creation of the IPMO, the Influence and Perception Management Office. One office to rule them all. The most recent, I think, is Ken Klippenstein's article over at The Intercept, Inside the Pentagon's New Perception Management Office to Counter Disinformation. Who's the author of the disinformation? I mean, it's, you know, two sides of the, it's like WWF, basically. It's just an echo chamber of disinformation everywhere. Back to Bernays and the idea of continuous interpretation achieved by trying to control every approach to the public mind in such a manner that the public receives the desired impression, often without being conscious of it. When there's nothing left but this echo chamber, this cacophony of lies, deception, disinformation, where does one turn? There's some interesting illustrations of this point. Maybe we'll play one. There's a lot of other stuff. Anyway, from Ken Klippenstein's article, perception management came to prominence during the Reagan administration, which used the term to describe its propaganda efforts. Not long after the 9/11 attacks, the Bush administration launched what it called the Office of Strategic Influence, OSI, which would seek to counter the enemy's perception management in the so-called War on Terror. But it quickly became clear that the office, operating under Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, there are the known knowns, the known unknowns, and the unknown unknowns. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld would be managing those perceptions with its own disinformation. As the New York Times reported at the time, its work was to provide news items, possibly including false ones, to foreign journalists in an effort to influence overseas opinion. In the nascent internet age, observers worried the propaganda could boomerang back on Americans, but never fear. We got the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, and now it's all perfectly legal, right? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for a private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about war in 2024 on Road Warrior Radio, and especially influence operations, perception management, and especially in the information age, in the internet age, because in the internet age, especially, all warfare is perception management, and all perception management warfare. It's very interesting. You know, getting back to the articles on this stuff, Ken Klippenstein's article in particular, and the other both articles that I'm aware of that deal with the IPMO, the Influence and Perception Management Office, are his. The other is the May 5, 2023 article. The government created a new disinformation office to oversee all the other ones. So I'm sure Peter Thiel would be proud. One office to rule them all. And they include a photo, the featured image in the that article, is of DNI Avril Haines. Seen on a screen while she speaks during a Senate Intelligence Committee hearing on Capitol Hill. You know, how much of the congressional testimony is an influence operation and perception management by these kinds of folks? Is there anything that's genuine? And that's sort of a rhetorical question. I highly doubt there's anything genuine in any of that. But, you know, that's really a reflection of a broader epidemic. This reminds me of Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 4, The Inevitability of Planning. And the inevitability is mentioned, you know, like Smith, Hugo Weaving's character in The Matrix, you know. Hayek offers inevitability in quotes, the inevitability, quote unquote, of planning. He opens with a quote from Benito Mussolini. We were the first to assert that the more complicated the forms assumed by civilization, the more restricted the freedom of the individual must become. But this is an interesting little bit to open the chapter. It is a revealing fact that few planners are content to say that central planning is desirable. Most of them affirm that we can no longer choose, but are compelled by circumstances beyond our control to substitute planning for competition. The myth is deliberately cultivated that we are embarking on the new course not out of free will, but because competition is spontaneously eliminated by technological changes, which we neither can reverse nor should wish to prevent. This argument is rarely developed at any length. It is one of the assertions taken over by one writer from another until, by mere iteration, it has come to be accepted as an established fact. It is nevertheless devoid of foundation. The tendency toward monopoly and planning is not the result of any objective facts, quote unquote, beyond our control, but the product of opinions fostered and propagated for half a century until they have come to dominate all our policy. This in contravention, I would say, to, you know, the warnings of folks like Neil Postman in books like Amusing Ourselves to Death and Technopoly. As he observed wisely and astutely, technology giveth, but it also taketh, and we don't talk enough about what it taketh. It shapes us in many cases, I think often, actually, most of the time, in subtle, imperceptible ways. And it is designed and intended many times to do just that. There's a clip that I think sort of accompanies this. Probably should play it. So I think we'll do that maybe in the next segment. John Pounders with David Carrico on Now You See TV on the agenda, including a citation. Pounders gives a paragraph from Joseph P. Farrell's Babylon's Banksters, The Alchemy of Deep Physics, High Finance, and Ancient Religion. And it's a fascinating excerpt, speaking of technology. And the reason I want to include this here is not just because of the perception management, but, you know, people say, for example, well, you know, it's just technology, right? It's neutral. It's neither good nor bad. Well, maybe. But it's funny how George Friedman just keeps being proven right over the centuries. Technology always seems to be the handmaiden of warfare, doesn't it? Funny, the coincidence. Is technology really neutral? Stick around. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Life full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. All right. I think, let's see. I think we got a... we preface first, or which one do we do first? I think we got to do George Friedman first, Brain Bar Budapest. Is there a global war coming? We have to do that. So let me throw that in the hopper real quick. And we'll go from there. Well, you know, speaking of perception management, you know, again, it fascinates me. Technology, the technology in your phone. Where does it come from? Is it really benign? Is it really neutral? Most people presume that. Where does it come from? Where does the science and technology, I mean, we could go down the rabbit hole on this. Maybe we should. Maybe we'll play three clips on this. I'm thinking of three. There's George Friedman, you know, Stratfor founder, George Friedman, CIA proxy, Stratfor founder, George Friedman. In fact, global war, all war, is sitting with you right now, sitting in your pocket. I present to you, what does he say? Then the clip that I mentioned of John Pounders. And then there's one more. Maybe we'll throw in for good measure that probably will just be like, what the heck is he talking about? But we'll do it anyway. Are we ready with Friedman? Can we do that?
Hi. Is a global war coming? Of course. There's never been a century that didn't have a global war. The 20th century, you know about. 19th century is the Napoleonic Wars. 18th century was the Seven Years' War. We can go back and back and back and back. But if you don't think there's a global war coming, then you're saying that the 21st century is going to be the first century in which there isn't a global war. And I will bet against you any amount you want. In fact, global war, all war is sitting with you right now. It's sitting in your pocket. I present to you the iPhone. You've seen this. It carries such superb tools on it as YouTube and Tinder and all the essentials. And you guys are so cool that you know that this represents the future and makes you completely different because, well, you're cool. Let's talk about it. The foundation of this phone is a microchip. The microchip was developed to guide U.S. intercontinental ballistic missiles against Soviet targets. It had to have a small computer in it. It had to be very light. It had to be very accurate. And the microchip was the solution. And all of the weapons that we used during the Cold War to threaten the annihilation of humanity was built on the microchip. And you now use it today. Because it's cool. But that's what it is. Take a look at the other thing. You have a camera in your phone, the digital camera. That was developed by the U.S. National Reconnaissance Office for spy satellites. Problem we had was that if you took regular pictures with film, how do you get them to Earth? So you had to have a way to take pictures of targets of various sorts that didn't require you to drop a Kodak film pack down to the Earth, because that's what they did at the beginning. And they had to develop some sort of way to take pictures that could get back to Earth fast, just the way you send selfies to your mother or something. And that was the digital camera. It was driven by something called the CCD, which I remember the name once, but I can't remember what it's about. And what it did was it took digital pictures that could be beamed back to Earth to target people. Your innocent little camera had its birth in spy satellites. There's GPS. You love it. You walk around the street looking at it instead of the traffic. You get killed. It's a cool device. GPS was invented by the United States Air Force. It was called NavStar, to guide cruise missiles to their targets and to allow Army units precision in their land navigation. In other words, it was invented to let soldiers know where they were. Okay? And it's the most dangerous thing you have in your device, because if you don't get hit by a car, you're going to crash yours while you're staring at it. So it has a violent nature built in. Now, all of this is designed to get to the place where all humanity lives, which is the Internet. The Internet was developed by the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency to move classified data from one secret lab to the other. So, something in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, the lab's there, would move to Los Alamos, and that would be moved to Brookhaven National Laboratories. What were they doing in these laboratories? Doing research on nuclear wars. Because that was the big story then. It was developed with only one thing in mind: to make research more efficient. And when you get on the Internet, all the protocols you get and all the cool stuff to get you around were developed by American scientists who were deeply involved in the Cold War. Now, you then have the cell phone, which most of you don't use anymore, because you irritate me by sending me text messages instead of picking up the phone. Okay. The cell phone was first deployed in 1985 by the United States Army and was used for the first time in Operation Desert War. And it was entirely invented to facilitate military communication. Bottom line is, there is nothing in this phone, or if you're a religious fanatic in the Android, there was nothing in this that was not created for war. So you think about war as a distant thing. You think about war as something that doesn't really have to do with you. And then you pick up this phone, and every bit of it is drenched in war, in fear of war, and everything else. Now, the Americans are peculiar. In the United States government, they're not allowed to have patents. Basic rule is, if the U.S. government invented it, and it's not secret, it's yours for the taking. It's an odd rule, but it works for us. It means that everything we do in preparing for wars, designing aircraft, everything else, ultimately comes down to being available. So Steve Jobs, who is so cool, invented nothing. He took other people's inventions from the government, put them together, and the only thing he invented was marketing. And that was pretty cool. Bill Gates invented nothing. MS-DOS was a program he bought from someone that had originally been developed for the Air Force. Zuckerberg invented even less. Your whole generation lives in a fantasy of creativity. The basic tools that guide your life, that permeate you, were developed by warriors or scientists of warriors. It got to you, and a bunch of really smart marketing guys put them together and convinced you they were geniuses. The real geniuses made $50,000 a year and retired poor. The marketing guys, they made the money. The reason I'm starting with this is to make it clear to you how intimately your life is involved with war. Leon Trotsky, the famous communist that we all dislike, used to say, "You may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you." And what he meant by that was the fantasy that you can decide to avoid wars. Wars are among the most ubiquitous things in human life. Wars are constant. They're going on now. They will go on for a long time. People don't like wars. It doesn't matter what you like. And one of the most important things this generation must grasp is that history doesn't give a damn what you like or don't like. You may be a millennial, but you bleed from a bullet just the same as anybody else.
Pretty crazy.
Your life is built on the things that came out of World War II.
Yeah, okay. We can stop it there. That's, I don't know about you, but... Oh, goodness sakes. I think that's, you know, I dare say that's an eye-opener for most folks. Do people really internalize that? Do they allow themselves to really grasp what George Freeman's talking about there? And, you know, he's no dummy. He's not guessing. This is his, you know, this is his wheelhouse, as you might say. He knows wherever he speaks. I remember those days, I don't know, 15 years ago, when he was putting out the, you know, there was the OS Int Intel briefings that he was putting out were truly open source. There's a ton of that stuff you could find on Stratfor's website. Now they have everything locked down, obviously, and it's all gated content. But, you know, he knows what he's talking about. And I think that's not difficult to discern listening to him glibly talk about the technological pieces, you know, extemporaneously of the cell phone, its components, and, you know, the ancillary technology. But where does it all come from? Is it really neutral? Some people think so. Some people like to think so. It's interesting listening to him. You know, he says, mentions Trotsky. You may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you. Man, I'll tell you. If you understand the reference, that's a sobering historical reminder. I have been warning every time I mention the Bolsheviks. I don't know about you, but I shiver and my skin crawls. I'm not you know, fearful personally per se, but it is a terrifying prospect to think that God would hand us over to, you know, we would be given over to the depravity that we've dabbled in. And we have certainly gone a long way just in the last few years. It's accelerating all the time. Not enough people taking a stand. I didn't open today's broadcast with a prayer, did I? And I still haven't done the announcement, so I'll probably do both of those in the second hour. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour for today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, January 26, 2024. Some may wonder, why not cover the daily goings-on, the daily scuttlebutt? I don't know. I think about it. I think these days maybe it's worth covering. I don't necessarily think so. I mean, it's not of primary importance. It's not the first order of business, I would say. Better that we really apprehend how, maybe just get some insight, a little window into the multitude, the myriad, really the infinite number of ways that we are, that our perception is, these attempts at managing our perception. And as a result, our emotions, reasoning, decisions, and or actions. How much of how much of that ends up, especially with the internet and social media? A lot of people, there are studies now that prove that Google search is broken, but is it really? I've seen the same thing on search engines like DuckDuckGo. It's just an echo chamber of confirmation bias and reinforcement. Why do I need to, if I'm searching, why do I need to see the same search results that I've already found in the past? Did you mean this that you've already found? Why do I have a full page of search results that I've already found? Am I an imbecile? I just don't remember these things? Maybe in some cases, but certainly not most or all. It's becoming increasingly difficult to find new and different information. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, though. Wouldn't want to read into anything and, draw any, come to any false conclusions or jump to any conclusions. So I think it's better, especially looking at the political landscape, especially in light of the broader backdrop and the clash of civilizations that's shaping up everywhere you look. There's talk of civil war and all that kind of stuff. Is, how much of that is real and how much of it is mystical, magical, alchemical, chaos magician, the metaphysicians at work behind the scenes, the strange Lovian crowd. How much of it is that? I honestly wonder. I think it's mostly that, personally. Talk more about that when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.